Hello, and welcome back to the Long Distance Love Bombs podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Jeremy Goldberg, and today's guest is my good friend, my dear friend, my collaborator, my partner in COVID positivity. Her name is Leela Dilla, and she is a powerful teacher. She's a yoga teacher. She's a breathwork facilitator. She trains people in both of those things. She's led retreats since 2014. She is wise and gentle. I just adore her. And Leela and I just finished teaching a retreat, our second retreat together in Costa Rica a couple weeks ago. And we were both COVID positive and forced to stay in Costa Rica a little bit longer than expected. And we were living together. And somebody pulled out of a podcast, and so I needed a new episode. And I said, hey, Leela, maybe we can turn our mashed potato brain-fogged minds and we can use them together and we can have a conversation about community and why it matters and why it's so powerful. And in this conversation, we do that. And we also laugh a lot, and we were in quarantine together, so the conversation is very informal. We know each other very well, and it's a fun one. But it's also a deep one, and it's an important one because it is so difficult to heal alone. It is so much more difficult to heal alone, perhaps is a more accurate description of that. And when we have people in our corner, when we have people that have our backs, when we have people who love us and accept us and help us through the darkness, it is just easier. It is better. It is more powerful at times, because we see new perspectives and we hear different opinions and we change quicker. So in this conversation, we talk about why retreats are important. We talk about the community that Leela leads called the Heart Space. So if you are a woman looking for community, you can check out the links below. And we just talk about the importance of other people. How do we build community? Why does it help us to heal? Why is it vital for our existence? And it's a good conversation. I think you're going to dig it. If you haven't already heard of Leela, do check out her Instagram. It got hacked and held for ransom many months ago, and she is rebuilding it. I think she had like 15,000 people, and she is basically burned it all down and is starting again. So do check her out on Instagram. Highly recommend her. Highly recommend her work. I trust her. I love her. And it is just such an honor to collaborate and have community with someone like her. So with that said, here is Leela Dilla.
Make it. That's how things are funny.
Yeah, let's force it to be funny. Leela Dilla, my friend, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
This is the first one that I've ever done with COVID in quarantine with someone else.
I'm honored. I can honestly say it's my first experience of this as well. This is my first of many things happening right now.
Yeah. Have you ever done a podcast on a beach in Costa Rica with COVID?
No, not all of those things.
Yeah.
2 years ago, though, I did a podcast with Amber Hawken while we were here.
Oh, yeah.
We sat on a bed like across from each other, and I thought that was really cool. So now I thought I'd turn doing it with you.
Yeah.
We're not on a bed. We're at a kitchen table.
But that's true.
And I didn't have COVID 2 years ago.
Just for those visualizing, we're at a table in an Airbnb.
Mm-hmm.
And Amber's, or what's your name? Leela, sorry.
I'm happy to be called Amber 80 fucking times.
Leela is drinking cacao. Mm-hmm. One of the symptoms I find of COVID, though, is this brain fog. Have you had any of that? Yeah. Or I feel like my brain's in second gear.
Yeah, mashed potato brain.
So I'm going to do my best to hold space and ask questions.
I'm going to do my best to answer. Yeah.
Yeah. Jeez. Here we go.
So we're in an Airbnb.
We are.
We did an epic retreat here. Feels like a year ago, but I think it was maybe less. It was like 10 days ago it ended or something. And then we got sick. And it might have been the best thing that could have happened to us. Because at this point, we're sitting at a Airbnb looking out over the ocean. There's hibiscus flowers and hummingbirds and coconuts hanging from trees. It's stunning.
Iguanas wandering around.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely a silver lining for sure.
Yeah.
I remember sitting here a day or two ago
looking out at the sunset. And I think I even said to you, like, gosh, I'm so grateful for COVID right now, because I wouldn't be here and I wouldn't be having this time. And another aspect is just the forced rest. It's like, oh no, you're not going to do anything. And even if you want to, we're going to take your brain away and turn it into mushy jello.
Like, so you're going to get a bunch of computer.
Good luck, bro. Oh, you're a writer, you're a creator. That's cute. Nice try.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's I didn't realize that I was about to catapult back into my life after that retreat until I couldn't. And then I've just been on an epic pause since then. It's been very healing and helpful for me.
Yeah.
And it sounds like it has been for everybody, actually. We weren't the only ones who got sick. And those of us that have listened to that pause button are really having some like great insights and really the slowdown is necessary, I think.
Yeah.
It's definitely felt that way for me. I've gained a lot. And not being able to really use my brain at full capacity has been helpful for the slowdown. I've literally just walked like 30 yards out to the beach, laid, and then walked like 30 yards back and then sat in the rocking chair. And I've done that for 10 days.
Yeah.
I've learned a lot, probably more than I've learned in like 3 years of active trying to learn something.
Right. It's just life as meditation.
Yeah. Like, complete boredom practice for 10 days.
The 1,000-mile stare at the sea, just like feeling things.
Yeah, there's been rays jumping. Yeah. This is a gift of this slowdown. I didn't even know rays did that in such huge quantities. It's been like 30 to 50 of them just like jumping out of the water and playing. They look like they're just having fun. My friend Brandy's here too. And she was like, I wonder what they're doing. Like, I think they're just having fun. Like, it doesn't really even look like they're doing. They're just like joy.
They're at the club. Yeah.
Yeah, they're getting it at 7:30 in the morning.
Yeah. Okay, so we hosted a retreat. And I think one of your gifts, you have many gifts, just to clarify, is bringing people together in creating community. And as part of that, I think creating a container or a vibe or an environment in which safety, love, truth, trust can unfold or unfurl. So what does that mean? Like, what does community mean to you? Why is it so important in the work that you do? And actually, we need to step back. For those who don't know you, who have no idea who you are, they're like, Jeremy's in quarantine with some chick? It's like, yes, I am. But like, who are you? What's your deal? Let's set that as a foundation.
I don't know anymore, Jeremy. I kind of don't.
It's the hard-hitting question straight off. But.
I feel like I'm totally starting anew. The last 2 years really changed me. And I think it changed a lot of people. But I'm really feeling the effects of like stepping into a totally new chapter. Or like a totally new book of my life. So I probably need to readjust the way I explain what I do and who I am, but I'll try it here. My career started as a yoga teacher, and I have been leading retreats since 2014. So I do have a lot of experience and reverence for community spaces and what can happen there, which is how our connection was made of wanting to do a retreat together with Traver. And I've spent the last few years focusing on coaching women and building an online women's community called Heart Space and facilitating yoga teacher trainings and retreats, breathwork facilitators trainings. And I think my main passion is in my own life is just remembering what's truly going on here, or just seeking that more sacred thread that I can follow throughout my life, because it's brought me a lot more contentment and happiness and joy and just like satisfaction than a lot of the superficial conditioning that I was handed. So I think, yeah, my passion is to help guide people back to that sacred thread in their life too, whether that is just finding a deeper connection to nature or a deeper connection to themselves, healing their trauma, or just living a more joyous life, or really like exploring what the concepts of God mean and what it really means to live an enlightened life, like as far as you want to take it. I like to go there.
Yeah.
So
let's go there.
Let's go there.
So you just said something like trying to figure out what's going on or something like that. And then finding God all around us.
Yeah. What's really going on here?
What does that mean? Like, Help me understand. I occasionally feel like a blind toddler just trying to figure things out.
I think that's probably the starting point, is to recognize that we all actually do feel like that. I think there just like became a point where I realized that the way I was told to do things wasn't leading me to any deeper satisfaction. Like it didn't really matter how like much money I had in the bank or like how much like which boyfriend I had or like how many followers I had on Instagram or like how skinny I was or any of the things, I'm speaking as a woman, that I've been told should help me feel like fulfillment, like deeper fulfillment. Like I'm good. Like this, I'm part of something. I feel happy from within, like full from within. I realized that like a lot of what I was told should do that weren't doing that. And actually it was leading me to feel less full and like more anxious, more disconnected, like there wasn't enough, like this scarcity of like just continuing to be on that hamster wheel. And it wasn't until I started to just like question things, like just ask why. Brandy and I were on the beach the other day and she said something about like, why don't people see that there's more going on? And I was like, well, all we really have to do is just ask like one more question. Like if you just look at something, like we were just sitting out on the beach and I was like, just ask like why, or like what's behind the initial way that we see something. And usually just that one question of curiosity, life starts to show us what's really going on. Mm. If we have to pay attention though, we have to be present, we have to pay attention, and we have to want to hear something more. So I think my motivation for exploring that was I just deeply wanted to be more fulfilled. And I was realizing that chasing the next best thing wasn't doing that for me. So instead of reaching outward and like running forward for it, I started just slowing down and going inward, like going inward and down, like a descent into like who I am at my core. And the further I can go there, the happier I become. And it has less to do with outside circumstances. And that's just a relief, because as like outside circumstances pretty much can mostly seem like they're fucking you over, or sometimes they're really great. Like we don't fucking know. Like what's going to happen? They change all the time.
Like we're sitting here right now as a consequence of outside circumstances. Right.
Which
I missed a flight home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was supposed to be out of this country 10 days ago.
Yeah, we were sick for a period.
Didn't know where we were
going to
stay. Yeah,
got kicked out of a hotel.
I was Googling the emergency number in Costa Rica, like, just in case I faint or need assistance. Like, that was a plot twist.
Yeah.
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 But I like this idea that you touched on, that the like the pursuit of the things we're told will fill us up is in itself draining and will empty us.
Yeah, that's my experience. And it has been the experience of a lot of people that I've been in community with.
Yeah.
Which then has just validated that internal turning of like, oh my God, you're feeling that too. You did all the, I cannot tell you. It's every single person I worked with has done the things they thought they should do and gotten to a place of like, that didn't do what I thought it was going to. Like, and now what? So that question of like, now what? Or how do I really feel full or purposeful or happy or joy or just peace?
It's been a very common sort of story or plot line through the various guests on this podcast. I've interviewed like over 100 people, and it's like, I was going that path. I had most of the stuff, and then blank happened, or I felt blank and I realized I needed to change. And that was scary, hard, overwhelming, terrifying, etc. Yeah. What was that version for you? I know we were talking about how you failed calculus. Is that okay, a part of it?
that was just like those breadcrumbs in the beginning of me realizing I wasn't going to fit into like a normal.
Those are the tiny
box.
Red flags before the big ones arrived.
Yeah. I've been reflecting on this a lot this last week, since just sitting in nature and doing absolutely nothing. I'm grateful for my upbringing. I was homeschooled until I went to college and had a lot of time to just play outside. Like I did a lot of climbing trees and jumping on the trampoline, and like very little playing in the sandbox and just like exploring my dirt road. And like, and then I remember like the first things I was interested in school were like creative writing and mythology and like just genuine curiosity about life itself from a pretty young age that wasn't conditioned out of me by having to follow a series of behavioral patterns. So I feel really grateful for that. That really started me on a curious foot that never really left. And I think it's a blend because I found my like purpose or calling or like the vein of being a teacher that works well for me or has in the last 10 years of doing what I'm doing quite young. And I'm grateful for that because it's given me an opportunity to blend and keep that curious thread while also building a business and making something of myself in this 3D world. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel like that always happens for people super young. So I recognize the privilege and blessing of that to where I can kind of do both at the same time. Like my work is, it's better work based off of how much I understand or how curious I stay. So there's never a day where I'm not just actually in extreme awe, like we experienced during the retreat, just like act like mind blown that this could be the way that I'm living my life, or we are all living our lives. But there's lots of, I mean, nobody's life is only rainbow. So there was like little incidences where I just was, I call it like the life frying pan to the face of like, that's not working. Okay, that's not working. That's really not working. Heartbreak and personal choices that I made that led to trauma. And then being in debt and having crappy teachers that like totally failed me and people that failed me in hard conversations and like thinking I wasn't going to get my business off the ground and I was going to have to do this or that. And all of those were probably maybe the best things that ever happened to me because it just created more fortitude to stay on my path. COVID brain, I can't remember what your question was.
Like I remember starting my biz and talking to Traber and being like, I just need to not drown this month.
Oh yeah.
Like I just need to stay afloat one more month, one more week, one more day, and really breaking it down. Like this is a hard, challenging thing that I'm doing and I'm not so sure about the steps right now. Mm-hmm. And so I need to lower my expectations right down to literally just survive. Mm-hmm. Like give the business mouth to mouth pretty often.
Yeah.
Because things are not easy at the moment.
I think for me, and it sounds like for you too, and I know for Traber, building a business that for me has required a lot of faith that I was going to be able to survive it. Yeah. And in that has like, when Carolyn Mace says that if it's not guidance from God, it won't require faith. And like to the word God, to me, just you could also just put life.
Say that again. If it's not guidance from God,
yeah, then it won't require faith. So, like any calling or question or call forward that is huge, that like life is actually asking us to rise to something. If it's really that, it's going to require a shitload of trust and faith in the unseen and the unknown.
Right.
And building the life that I have now has required so much of that. There's been so much challenge, even just down the vein of like creating my business has required me to just believe that like I was going to figure it out. Like I didn't have, no one was helping me financially. And I know for you too, like there was nothing was handed to me. It was all just, I know that this is important. It feels so important in my body and my heart and my mind, all everything is like go. And it makes no logical sense to keep going. Like it makes the opposite of that. It is, but it makes spiritual sense or it makes like heart sense. Doesn't necessarily make brain sense to keep doing this thing, but I can feel it so deep inside of me that I'm just going to do it and like trust that something is going to happen. Like for me, I don't tell the story that often, but at one point I had made like, I can't remember the exact timing, but I've made some big investments as far as like doing programs or taking trainings so that I could know what I know and be a bit more expertise in certain veins that are inspiring to me. And I remember just making some purchases or like, how am I going
to
do this?
I remember talking to you about one in particular.
Like, yeah, absurd. Like I remember being like, what? Everything was like red fucking flag. Do not do this. I'm just like signing the paper. Like I've got to, I don't know what I'm doing. And so I've been in debt a couple times and I'm no longer in debt and make great money, which I'm very grateful for. But I remember at one point I got this, this is when I learned that I was a good cook, which I didn't know this before. I mean, I grew up cooking, but I didn't know that I was like hireable,
right,
good cook. But I was living in the Florida Keys. And at that point, I remember being like, how it was one of those, I don't know how I'm going to make it. I was bartending at a brewery and I was like teaching yoga classes at like different hotels. And like, I knew I had a retreat in like 6 months. And I was like, I just got to make enough cash to like get to that. Cause then I'll make a little bit of cash and then I'll be fine for, I don't know, 2 months and then I'll be stressed again. And I had like made a big purchase for this training I wanted to do. And I got a call from someone that I used to know, randomly answered it. And they were like, there's this family coming down to the Keys and they're looking for someone to cook. And I called this other person and they told you to call you. And it was one of those people where it's like, I probably wouldn't have answered the call normally. I was like, why is this person calling me? But I just felt like I'd answer it. And then anyway, I went and went to these people's houses. They had never tried my food before. And I gave them an astronomical price of private chef for them. And it was just over like a Christmas and New Year's holiday or so I thought. And they said yes. And I walked out of there like, holy shit, I need to make a menu or like figure out what I'm going to cook for these people. And I started like the next day. I cooked for them for 11 days straight and I made a solid chunk of money and they loved it. And I realized in that moment that I knew how to cook for people, but I literally did not know that I could do it beforehand.
Right.
And I set this ridiculous price and was like, I'm going to deliver this incredible thing. And I had no logical reasoning as to why I would have done that. And then it turned into something I did for years. They hired me 2 weeks later and I literally worked like January to April for them and was able to make like a massive investment in my retreat offering in the Bahamas, bought all these new yoga mats, like was able to pour into my business and pay off other trainings that I have done. And it wasn't like I wasn't doing anything. I was cooking every single day. I stopped the brewery job. I was able to really pour into like cooking, which is, I realized something that I really love doing. It's like a meditative practice for me. And it's such a, people love it so much to be cooked for from somebody who's in a good mood and loves what they're doing. So that was like a whole nother avenue. And then I did it for them. Yeah. For like 3 years, I traveled with them and they came down to the Keys a couple more times. And it became like a backbone of me building my other business. Mm-hmm.
They were like your angel investor. So
absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. He actually just passed away last year and I had like, did a ritual for him because he was an older gentleman. And I like just thinking of like the contracts that we have with people. I totally believe we make agreements to meet people in this lifetime. And I was just seeing like the ripple effect of that man's like generosity. And like, I can't even like, I was just such a small speck in his life and he affected me massively. And I'm like, I hope, I'm sure that you know now, like how powerful that was for me and how many people my work has touched. Like I'm sure he knows now, but I would have loved to have been able to really articulate that to him. But
yeah, the ripple effects of our lives.
Incredible. And like, we never know how much we affect people. Like he probably doesn't know.
He's
a little chef-y.
And the other thing I love about that story is that like there's no way you would have predicted that. If I had sat you down before that all went down and was like, okay, let's make a list of 10 ways that you can figure out to get a bunch of cash and start your business and blah, blah, blah. You'd be like, okay, I just want these random people to offer a bunch of money and I'll just cook for them for 11 days. It's like, okay, Leela.
Here where I already am, you don't have to travel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's how it works though. And so I think it's important just to highlight for those listening that life works in wild and weird and completely unexpected ways. And that part of the work that we have as individuals is to like keep your fucking eyes open, keep your fucking heart open, because all around us are potentialities and opportunities that might transform everything.
Yeah.
And if we're so hyper focused on the plan and how it should go and what should happen, we'll miss out.
Totally miss out.
Yeah.
Life really speaks to us. Like that you said, wild and weird. I've been focusing on wild and wise because like life is so wild and so wise, and it's deliberately wise. We just can't see it through our small vantage point most of the time. So we want things in a particular way, but life is guiding us and truly like corresponding in our favor. It's just a matter of like, am I paying attention to what is being put in front of me? Another Carolyn Mace thing, she's like, we always ask for guidance, but then we get guidance. And we're like, no, we don't want that guidance. Like, I don't want to do anything differently. It's like, that was super different for me. I had no idea. I mean, it was like terrifying in essence, and it became incredible. And that's just like one small story of how that has been the way I have found my purpose. And like we've talked about, like following purpose isn't something that just like happens. Like it is something that you follow, and it will display itself in the seemingly oddest ways in our life. Like, here's an offering for you. Would you like to engage with this co-creation? And you're like,
and then you don't know until you know. Like, so for you, it was like the cooking is a really powerful example because like, oh, I can do that. I totally did that. And people will pay me for that. Yeah. Boom. Like that's an epiphany.
Yeah.
But I think too, I'd be curious on your perspective on this, but in working with clients and seeing them on retreats and such, I think there's this perception that purpose is just like this comet that suddenly arrives like a bolt of lightning one day and everything is different and everything is illuminated. Yeah. And in my experience, it's more like, I call it heart whispers. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, like maybe try this. Mm-hmm. We're like, hey, maybe like say yes to this cooking job. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, that immediate next step feels like a fuck yes. And then that actually is the lightning comet bolt in disguise.
Totally. That's how it's been in my life. We can't know. I think there's like an expectation that we'll know the next 1,000 steps before we have to take right. one. That's like, that has never been my experience. And I have learned to feel completely guided every step that I take. And all I ever expect is to, and I don't even expect it actually. It's just the way that it appears to me is one step.
Yeah.
Only one.
100%.
Maybe 1 1/4. Yeah, if I'm real fucking present, there is, I just have one step, I take that as like, life has shown me that there is one step for me to take. And I won't know the next one until both of my feet are fully committed to that step. And then life's like, and here's your next one. Mm-hmm. Because it's a co-creation, like equal parts. Trust means that then life, like we take a step, life take a step. We take a step, life take a step. And we're doing it together. But there is definitely a like, I need to know that nothing's going to fall apart before I do anything. It's like, that has never happened. And we never know what the step's going to be. Like, we think we want it to be like this, but our perception's so small. We're only looking at this one tiny little speck of life in front of us. So how could we think that, like, what we want is going to be as good as what life could possibly provide? But that requires us to actually believe and be able to perceive a wider picture of what's really going on here. Like, I know, even just sitting here and having like, we have a full like view of the ocean in front of us and just sitting here and like literally expanding my eyes and like letting my whole body feel life reminds me of how absolutely tiny I am and how little I could possibly be perceiving at this moment. Mm-hmm. So how could, like, it's only when our ego comes in and is like, I know the right way. I do not know the right. It's all over and over again. You said it at the retreat. Like, I have no idea what I'm talking about. I don't know. How could we know? There's so much going on. Life knows, though. So when we recognize, like, we're working with this extremely intelligent, wild and wise being of the earth, and life is, like, moving through our bodies, then we get tapped into some wisdom and some trust. But that is scary for people to take that first step. But that's all we get. And I feel like we also are shown more steps quickly the more trust we have in our body. I don't know if that makes sense, but like practicing that one step and trusting of like, oh, great, take it. I feel like the quicker my response time is to that, the more quickly the next step appears. It's like, oh, she's paying attention. Like, here, we'll unravel her path a little bit quicker in front of her. And like, she's willing to like pivot or whoop, gotta go step that way. Like, that's a weird one. Never seen that step before. It's still gonna do it. I think something too, just like a practice for that is, I don't think we can see those steps if we're not present, and really cultivating like some sort of presence practice in your life, or all the presence practices, whatever that looks like for you, meditation, silence, a yoga practice, a walking meditation, time in nature, like emptying of the mental chatter so that we can get to a place of like inner quietude so that we can actually listen and then act upon what we heard. We do actually have to devote time to that, because I do think that it's a bit, when I expect life to show me something but I'm not going slow enough to listen, I know that my ego has definitely come in and it's like demanding life to do something. And whenever I have that like demand energy behind whatever is happening, life's like, I'll wait till you calm down before I show you anything. I'm like, oh, Okay, got it. So we do have to, I have to practice that. I think it's super important that we practice pulling the brake, slowing down, and actually cultivating a sense of presence like consistently through our life so that we can start to pay attention to the nuances, because it could be out of the vein of what you would typically do, or opportunity will come, or a chance will come. And those like signs are subtle. They're subtle in our body, and they're usually subtle in our life. Sometimes they're a frying pan to the face. They're usually like the harder things, but like being able to follow the heart whispers, it's quiet. Mm. We have to be quiet in order to hear it.
Yeah.
It's fascinating.
I love all of that. The way I was kind of piecing that together in my brain is like the idea that living is a skill, right?
Love that.
And that you can practice that and you get better at it. And for a lot of people that I've talked to on this podcast, going back to what I just mentioned, and perhaps to your former life, the way that we were taught to live is to achieve and to strive and to conform and to seek external validation and rewards, etc. And that's one way of living. And that works until it doesn't. And then people come to personal development and they start asking different questions. And they start being confronted with different perspectives, and new skill sets emerge, like presence and grace and surrender and acceptance. And that is super uncomfortable, as you've as you've said, and as I know you are familiar, right? Mm-hmm. And people want the change, but they don't want the old life to fall apart. And it's like, well, some unfortunate news for you, my friend. It's a prerequisite, right? And so I think what you've described is powerful and important. And through the practice of the skill of life, you get better at recognizing the heart whispers. You get more adept at intuition. You get more courageous, I would say. To your point about faith earlier, what does that mean to live a life of faith? Or like, what is faith to you, and how do you use it or think about it?
Actually, remembering that the first time that word came to me, and I was almost like, I almost didn't like it. I was like, that's the word? What? I don't know. Like, I was like, come on, give me something better than that. I wasn't raised religious, but I know that that word can bring up a lot of like dogma and just like resistance to people who have been. But the first retreat, I lead a retreat in the Bahamas called the Freedom Retreat, and I started leading that in 2014. And when I took the chance and booked that, I spent like the whole year figuring out like what was I going to teach at it. Like I wanted to do like a theme for each day. And like, I really had no position to be teaching this retreat because I was young and I didn't know what I was doing, but I had this like deep heart whisper to do it. So I started going through, okay, like what has helped me cultivate inner freedom? And I slowly went through the days. I had my first day was going to be truth, and the second day was going to be love. I couldn't come up with the third day. And then eventually the word faith came, and I was like, oh, I don't want to have to use that word. But now I've learned to love it, because really it's just trust. And I say that because I still lead that retreat now, and I've used truth, love, faith, and freedom. Those are like four pillars of the heart space community that I run. And I've taught that as a workshop of how do we have these four veins really running in our life. Because I do believe that we need them in order to feel free of societal conditioning or opinions of others, or just all the things that bind us to kind of living a life that's not exactly what we want to be living. So I say that to come back to faith. And to me, faith and trust are like anti-anxiety medication for me. in an essence, or like if I can embody the energy of complete trust, then any worry I did have or was about to have or started to go down usually revert, like the brake comes on. I'm like, oh, there is enough time. This is working out. Life is intelligent. I'm not the only one here. I'm not the general manager of the universe. Like that was something I used at the retreat a lot, because our egos or our small self gets so caught up so easily in having every single detail of life figured out. And I have noticed that when I'm doing that, it's because I don't trust that life itself has the details figured out. It's like my small self. It's like, I am going to control every bit of this. And that just wedges us emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually into a corner we do not belong in. Like, we are meant to be, we are meant to remember our place amongst something much grander than us, something much more wise than us. Like, we are a part of life. We are most wild, like, we are just as wild as everything else here. And if we remembered that, we would also be flinging ourselves in the waves like these rays. Like, we wouldn't be worried about these small things that really fuck us up. Fuck us up in every single way, mental, emotional, spiritual. So it's intense the way that our distrust in life corners us into a place of dis-ease in every way. So for me, living a life of faith is remembering that I am part of something important. I personally am not important, but I'm part of something important. And when I can let go of that ego part that wants me to be individually really important, I can kind of lean back and become part of a power and a process that's much bigger than me, something that I can trust. Wind this into the God aspect, because I feel like faith, that word faith brings that up. I believe we're all here to specifically fulfill like a purpose or a, like we all have unique callings of why we're here. And I think eventually it all leads back to remembrance of that sacred thread and remembrance of love and how we can move that through us without resistance in our life. And that looks different for each person based on our personality and our parenting and different contracts. Won't go into that. But believing that that is so has helped me live a life that's happy and content. Like, that I am doing what I'm supposed to be doing, that I am being guided by something bigger than me, that there is a reason why I'm curious about the things I'm curious about, that those hard moments of my life weren't for nothing. They weren't in vain. And I did learn something great from it. And that moment was beautiful and it was for me to experience. And this is happening, like, just has brought this more positive, open engagement with life itself, which creates a happy life for me. And I can see how pushing against that or not trusting or not having faith in something bigger, deeper, or more sacred creates the demise in a lot of people's lives. Mm. I mean, I feel like we see that collectively right now. It's like we, as a humanity, have been sold a lot of lies about what's true. And if we just back up enough to look, like, none of that shit's working. And the people that are happy are usually going against the grain of what we've been told. Like, they're uncivilizing themselves, just to drop a little traver in there.
In your experience, this idea of like learning how to do life or to really refining it or fine tuning it, what's been the difference between doing it alone or doing it in community or with others? Or is there a difference that you...
Yeah, I think they're both important. And I mean, even just your first half of this quarantine being alone, and now you
get to be with me. Two women walking around in bikinis and smashing cacao all day long.
And papaya. Cacao, papaya. It's very different. We learned there's a potency to both, right? Solitude and silence and going within alone is extremely important. I think there's such value in that that is essential for remembering who we are, hearing that voice inside of us. Absolutely. If we don't have a practice like that, I say take some time to cultivate that, especially for women. I have found that's something that's difficult to learn how to be okay being alone, just to be with ourselves. And not okay, but like just genuinely happy in our own presence, that can be very confronting. So I think there's an element of that that's extremely essential for our evolution. And then in community, I think that's like we are wounded in relationship and we heal in relationship in every way. I can mean intimacy on every level, from just being able to hold eye contact with somebody and not feeling like jumping out of your skin or looking away is extremely healing for us to just recognize that there is another eternal being staring back at me, so much more than just like a superficial, like, I don't know, connection with no depth. To actually just be with someone in and of itself reminds us who we are, because we can feel the depth of that contact with somebody else. And it's like, we can feel ourselves starting to bubble up, like, oh my God, whether it's good or bad, like shame comes up, guilt comes up. Oh my God, where they think all, everything starts to bubble up when we're seen by somebody else. Mm. So it's extremely revealing to be seen, especially seen by a conscious person who has love and intentionality behind seeing you changes everything. Because I think we also have a lot of superficial connection in community, which leads to the opposite, where we're performative and we're closed and we're there's a lot of comparison and jealousy, competition happening, which just shells us up even more and brings more of the ego forward. So being in very particular about the community we choose to be with is, I think, the key point there. It's like, we probably should just be alone if we're not going to be involved in community that's bringing us to a place of deeper remembrance, or a place where we can be super true and honest and authentic and speak clearly and be heard and be seen and be loved for whatever it is that's happening. I remember when we started the retreat, one of your main things in the opening circle was like, I'm going to hold this place. Like, this entire, my whole job here is to make sure that this is a safe, compassionate place for whatever you want to bring. Mm-hmm. And you just, we could see everyone's shoulders like, oh my God, like, great. And within, you know, 6 hours, we had everybody crying and like telling stories. And like we had two couples came from this retreat, and I remember I called it in that first workshop. I was like, oh, there's one. Like, not that that has to be the end of it, but it was like, there was authentic connection happening. Because people knew that whoever they were was welcome there. And there wasn't any performance. Like, we were breaking down those barriers right away. Mm. So
I think that's one of the more powerful things about retreats specifically that I've been on, is that I think most of us don't actually realize what it means to be in a space or a community like that until we're in it and we can feel it. And it's like, oh, I can just be me here. Oh, I can say anything to this group of people, and they're not going to judge me. They're not going to shame me. In fact, they're going to love me even stronger as a consequence of that chair. It is a radically transformative thing. Mm-hmm. And I think we've seen it time and time again with people that just crack in a space like that, because my experience, and I lived this for a long time too, is that so many of us are walking through life with a mask on or an identity or a disguise, or we feel unsafe. I think particularly women, the world is dangerous, and eye contact might be perceived as predatory. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these cultural phenomena, familial, et cetera, interact. But then to go to a space that's outside of your home that you've never been to, and you're looking around and you could tell everybody's a little bit freaked out in the same odd way that you are. Yeah. And then a random dude's like, we got you. You're good here. And Leela's like, blessings from the eternal. And Traver's like, man stuff. And then
they're like,
magic happens.
Want to be here.
But like, but a foundational principle of all of that, I believe, is just safety.
Yeah.
It's like, all of you is welcome here. Mm-hmm. Like, we love you. We got you. Let's just actually see each other and have a genuine connection this week.
It changes people. Just that alone
changes everything.
Changes people.
Yeah.
Because sadly, our lives are built around relationships that wasn't the premise to begin with. And so it does take a lot of breaking down to shift the family unit that we're inside of, the friends that we've had since high school that have seen us a certain way. Like, I remember the first time I went to India for one of my trainings, I realized that when I landed, I would know no one. I could be whoever I wanted. Like, I remember on the plane being like, you could turn around. Like, I've had my epiphany of this, the next century. Like, holy shit.
I could change my name.
I can literally, and so many of these stories that I didn't even realize I was holding up, just I could feel them just crumbling in my unconscious, subconscious. Like, wow, I can be anyone. And that happened. I mean, that was, I had been leading retreats before that, but that was a bigger section. I was there for 6 weeks and I really felt the difference. I remember agreeing, like, I wasn't going to tell a story about myself that I didn't want to be true anymore. And I realized, wow, I have been perpetuating my own shit for who knows how long. I felt so much healthier in my body. I learned so much about myself. I tried new things. I realized that I'm like quieter unless I'm talking about something I'm interested in. That was something it took me years to figure out. I was like, oh, for the most part, I enjoy listening or only talking about this one thing. Great. That was useful because in my normal unit of friends or family, there's expectations. People had always seen me this way. They know this about my life. So they're assuming this. And then because they're assuming it, then I'm performing to it or like engaging with that dynamic again. To go somewhere where no one knows you and then to have that stage set of safety, compassion, freedom, authenticity, actually encouraging the stuff that you typically wouldn't show to be the first thing you bring us. Wow. Like people just flip inside out and are like, and then people realize like how simple it actually is. Like just that the first like 12 hours of a retreat are really incredible because 24 really feels like you're there for like 3 days and 24 hours. And they're like, what? Like we're all best friends. I've literally shared more of my heart with you than I have with people in the last 10 years or maybe even longer.
That's like the running gag in the group text, right? It's like, that was a wonderful 6 months we spent together.
Yeah. And it feels like that because we're also doing new, like everything is new. I love, there's like a time warp that happens during retreats. The first like 4 days, usually I do about like 7 or 8 day retreats, but the first section of it feels like an eternity. And then the last 2 days are like that. Wow. But there's something about the pattern, because we're in a new place, every moment is new, every meal is new, every like our room is new, our bathroom is new, like all those patterns that we typically go through habitually in our life, everything's different. And so time slows down and we have this like beginner mindset of like, which is prime for reprogramming the way we've done things. So it's like clean fucking slate. Who are you today? How do you feel in this moment? Like everything is fresh and new. So it's extremely powerful for people.
Would you agree that it's almost like when you go to a place where nobody knows who you are, it forces you to confront the idea that you might not actually know who you are?
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God, who am I in this space? I could be anybody. That's really, I think, a powerful first step to consider. Like, who am I? Mm-hmm. So I always ask that for the guest straight away. It's like, so like, what's your deal? Who are you? And occasionally people are like, oh God, I don't know. I have no idea. Yeah. Why you got to go so deep? It's like, it's a powerful question.
Just live the rest of your life asking that question and see what comes of that. And see like, how do you actually find your answers? We find those answers in front of other people who remind us who we are deeply. Mm. We find those answers being with nature, like where we really remember our place amongst things. We find like watching ourselves in different environments and different situations and different places and patterns we've never experienced before. We watch our nervous system change. We watch beliefs disappear that were never ours anyway. And we're like, oh my God, why was I caring? Like just unpacking a backpack we didn't know we were wearing of like shit that was our mom's, that was that ex-boyfriend's, that was lifetimes ago. And if we're in a habitual state of being and living, which most of us are, we're just habituating those same patterns that like maybe weren't even ours, beliefs about ourselves, and beliefs are just choices, like you said.
Yeah, maybe a way to phrase that would be like, who do I want to be today? Mm-hmm. Or like a pep talk. Mm-hmm. Like I'm certainly proficient in that now more.
Yeah.
Like, come on, man, sort your shit out. Like you're a professional podcaster. Let's go. Come on, man. Use your brain.
You taught me how to use a mic today.
I did. I gave you a mic tutorial earlier. So one thing I do want to touch on that I'm curious about, because you have a perspective on it and experience with it, is the idea of holding space and building community specifically for women. Mm. I've heard through the grapevine that women occasionally can be cruel to one another or hyper-competitive, or that they might not feel comfortable trusting each other.
Mm. It's big.
Any thoughts on the idea of a women-identified community?
Yeah, for sure. And then I just want to wrap back to how cool it was to have the men and women at this.
Oh, yeah, we should talk about that.
So the Heart Space is my online women's community now, and a lot of the retreats that I've done have actually been co-ed, but they have been primarily women. And then I have had some that are just women, or yoga teacher trainings are just women. And then I work with, like, my team is built of just women, although Traver is one of my main teaching partners in you. So I love the mix. It brings such a different dynamic. So it is just very, very, very different to work with men, to work with women, and anyone in between, because there's so much nuance there. And there's some details about women community that are helpful to know. There's just such a massive, like, sister and mother wound in most of us, men or women or anyone. But when we get women specifically together, all of the ways in which they weren't nurtured, they weren't loved, they weren't cared for, they were judged, or where their heart wasn't connected fully and unconditionally to a feminine figure in their life, all comes up to the surface for them to see. And that's triggering, super triggering. And we also, from a young age, are not taught how to engage authentically with other women. It's a lot of competition and who's the prettiest and who's going to get the boys' attention. And it breeds this inauthenticity that happens most, I know, like, in my life prior. A lot of the connections I had were around drinking and working out and judging ourselves and trying to get men's attention, and it wasn't super fulfilling, didn't feel very good. It sucked. And a lot of that came from not knowing what it actually felt like to be loved and held by the feminine. I had a basic way to look at it is, let's look at our relationship with our mother or whoever played that role in our lives. And did we feel nurtured and loved by that person, like, deeply? Did it feel conditional or unconditional? And not doing that to blame anyone or to point fingers, but it's a really incredible lens to look, like, how do I relate to my own feminine essence? How do I relate to the feminine outside of me and different women? How do I relate to mother, God, or, like, the wild part of life, which is that nurturing feminine force that is caring for us all the time? And if I didn't feel that from my primary attachment figure, mother, then I'm not feeling that from other women, from life, from myself, from her, or anyone that represents the mother. And so going back to that and figuring out, what do I need to do in order to feel that for myself? And then how can I slowly, gently bring down the barriers between me and other women, which is getting around other women who are conscious and safe, and also trying to heal that, so that we don't re-traumatize ourselves. We bring our boundaries down, or, like, the barriers down, and then get in front of the firing zone is not the way to do it either, which is why community is so essential, because we get to do it together. Dewey Freeman that says, like, I heard him say that we became better men together, but we became better people at this retreat together. And in women's communities, we become better women together. It isn't somebody has it figured out and I figure it out myself. It's we come together and learn, like, wow, I'm really triggered right now. I need to learn how to communicate right now. This is how I'm feeling right now. I'm not going to blame you, but I'm going to bring it to you and have you hold me and nurture me. And I can blast off onto, like, the witch wound and shit, but I won't do that for the sake of this podcast. But for generations, a very long time, women have been kind of pinned against each other. And like, when they were burning women at the stake for being witches and healers and midwives, it was, they did a lot of like, pinning women against each other. Like, if you tell me who did this, then I won't hurt your family. And then they would hurt their family anyway. And it was all those things that they burned us for are the things that are actually quite magical about women. And I believe, and I have just come to see that in people's lives as well, when they actually embrace their intuitive abilities, their reconnection to their body, their sensuality, their sexuality, their internal wisdom of the unseen, their connection to nature, their ability to nurture and heal, and to know in a way that isn't logical. Those are the things that we really were shamed for and have been for a really long time. And therefore, women shame that in each other. So when we come together and choose not to do that, it's something really magical happens. And I think it's super essential for the health of humanity and the health of our planet right now for women to rise to that occasion and not rise. This is a big piece of the feminist movement. It's like we almost needed to swing the pendulum so far one way to kind of like claim our rightful place amongst everyone and like prove our power. But in that, we've also lost touch with a lot of the more subtle, powerful aspects of being a woman or being feminine, to the point where even women themselves are shaming the ability to care and to nurture and move slowly and to intuit and to have a natural rhythm and cycle that literally connects us back to nature more than anything. We've come to judge those parts of ourselves. And so if we're judging them in ourselves, we're judging them in other women, and no real connection can happen. So that pendulum, I believe, is swinging back to a more neutral or empowered place, to where we can be people who work in the world, but also have a deep connection to our true self. And we do that best with other people, because I think something that is good to remember is that we did used to live in tribes, and like we did used to, like, women raised their kids with other women. Like, men went off to war and hunted and did their shit together, and it wasn't just one woman sitting in, you know, wherever with her one baby. Like, she was, it was a lot. It was generations. It was communal, and we did the things together and remembered that we weren't alone. And I think that aloneness separates us from ourselves and from our ability to feel safe in the world.
I think another powerful aspect of community is that it sort of normalizes the abnormal that we perceive in ourselves. Like, hey, so I feel shame. Do you guys feel shame? Mm-hmm. It's like, oh yeah, we all feel shame. You do?
Yeah.
Oh, I've been judging myself for years because I felt shame about this thing. Or, hey, this is really hard, or I don't know how to do this, or I messed up. And it's like, oh yeah, we've all done all of those things. Yeah. You're doing it exactly right, and we love you anyway. And here's some ideas and lessons to consider.
Yep.
Versus doing it alone, in my experience, is always more difficult when I'm working through something challenging.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I would say that that's like one of the biggest points about it, is to just feel like you're not lone wolfing it. It compounds, becomes harder if we think we're the only one dealing with it. And that it is just never the case. No. And it literally, just that alone, speaking like, I feel shame. One, that relieves it by like 100%. And then other people going like, us too, is like, oh my God, this is actually a very tiny thing now. Yeah. But before, it felt like this monster eating us inside. So just that reflection of, as I said, that a big iguana climbed up that tree. monster.
That's cool.
Well,
or even just the egoic trap of that. Of like, I'm so special and unique. Yeah. And my problems are so individual and complex.
No one could ever understand.
You will never be able to help me.
Yeah.
I got in an argument with my partner.
Yeah. Like,
oh, really? Yeah. And like, I've definitely been guilty of that, and perhaps still am in places I don't realize.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm so special, just like all the rest.
Yeah. It definitely demystifies it. Our trauma, our situations, our pain is actually quite common.
It just shows the realness of life, where in a society and in a culture like ours, we are taught or even rewarded by not showing that side of life. And then you get into a space, or you follow people online that do that, and it's like a breath of fresh air. Yeah. It's this newfound vibrancy and possibility, I suppose. So I'm big on community. You're big on community. Yeah. But for somebody listening right now that's like, yeah, I've read about retreats, but I've never been on one. Like, do you encounter these individuals? Like, how do you get people over the hump of considering it, but and then actually investing or diving into an event or an experience like that? Because you're essentially asking someone to do something that they know. It's an example of the work itself. Yeah. It's like, I feel called to this thing.
Yeah, I was gonna
say. I really want to go to Costa Rica.
Yeah.
I've followed those guys for years. Yeah. I love them. But like, justification, yeah. fear, money stuff, yep. ego, fear, maybe next time.
Yeah.
It's like this avoidance trap.
I mean, even just that, like I was going to start with that. Like if you're even on this sales page or you were looking, you were sitting here like daydreaming about it, that's the call. Like that's the heart whisper of like, oh, I'm being called towards something.
Like I straight up say to people, like, you could be in this photo of us near the waterfall.
Yeah.
Like, imagine what that feels like. Wouldn't it be cool to, like, meet all these people and yeah. potentially make out with one of them, like a couple people have?
Yeah.
That's obviously an outlier, but it's happened every time we've done an event. Just saying.
Twice this time. Just saying. Yeah, I think just, like, taking a chance on your life in a more profound way.
That's a great way to phrase it. Like, you know, taking a chance on yourself.
Yeah.
Whether that's hiring a therapist, taking a trip, mm-hmm. saying no, having a conversation.
Yeah. Like taking a chance on your happiness or your freedom or your fulfillment or your purpose, you know, whatever word hits for you. Like love and freedom are my, like, I just want to feel free. Like, I just want to really feel connected to where I feel like I'm constantly like alive. Like, I'm going to feel vital. Anything that leads to that, like, I want to,
because my version of that things. Is like, I want to make a memory.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that excites me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want to know what it feels like to do that thing. I want to make that memory. Yeah. I want, when I look back on my life and I have like a treasure chest filled with experiences and little mementos in my brain.
Yeah.
Like, I want to know what that feels like. I want that memory.
Like, yeah, I want to experience that beauty. I want to feel that waterfall. Like, you cannot describe.
Like, yeah, right. So here's a photo of a thing with 20 people, but like,
it's insane.
How do you?
Yeah. And we remember, because Traver and I went up to that waterfall before we booked the place and sat there.
Just scoped it out.
Yeah. And he was like, we got to go back to that waterfall. I'm like, I know. Just to, and every time we're sitting there, we did it this time too. He was like, you want to climb up there? Because we like sat on this one place. I was like, yeah, even though it was like way more water this time, it was like twice as powerful as last time I was there or we were there. But I can't forget what it feels like to sit next to such magnitude, like the little specks of water and like the sound of it. It's like consuming. It's like you can feel the rocks moving underneath you when you sit there. And I just, like, we both just looked at each other like, yeah, I remember this. And then my whole body will never forget what that feels like. Like, I, in moments in my life, when I'm doing my habitual life where like other things are moving, I remember that waterfall is always flowing.
Yeah.
And that, like, kook, like, I go right back to it and I'm like, wow. That's
incredible. That's an extreme example of a waterfall in the tropics. Like, I remember still vividly the first time I had to do an eye gazing exercise. I went to some like church in Townsville, Australia, in the rural, and they had us do this thing and I had to like stare at a random guy's eyes for 3 minutes, and it's vividly burned into my brain. Like,
yeah,
that was fucking weird.
Yeah, I remember, like, the first time I eye gazed too.
Like, why are you still, you're staring at me still? Okay. Has it been 3 minutes yet?
Blink, 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 blink.
Yeah,
laugh, like, blink.
Yeah,
no.
Try to lighten the mood, and then it's like, I think I am in another dimension.
Yeah. Yep.
So
I can remember every
that's
time
a smaller version of like taking a chance on yourself, I suppose.
Yeah.
It's like, oh yeah.
Yeah. Just think about how much like time and money and resources and energy and thought that we devote to other bullshit things.
Yeah.
When I look at, like, I imagine like each day is like a pie chart, and like the universe or God, life is like watching how I utilize that 24-hour window.
Mm.
And however, whatever I spent the most time devoted to, like, life's going to give me more of those things. So I'm like, all right, I spent, you know, fourth on that, scroll on Instagram, get a little gossiping here, a little bad, you know, shitty self-talk, whatever. I filled up my 24-hour window. Yeah. Life's like, all right, we'll just serve her another plate of that.
Yeah.
But if I
bullying.
Yeah, right. Just like dozed off, you know. Or it's like, I have my, like, time is the most precious. Like, you never, doesn't matter how much money you have, you can never buy back a moment of your time. So I see our time as like the deepest, most sacred devotion. devotion that we can give to anything. That's like, we spend so much of our time working, fucking off, doing nothing, like distracting ourselves, like
chasing.
The array of things that we put so much effort into, actually. But then, like, how much effort or time do we devote towards cultivation of inner happiness or freedom or creating memories that are worth it or giving back or helping other people heal, love, being in a truly loving exchange, even just appreciating beauty, like in gratitude, like these, we know these things, even if we never heard it, we know. Yeah. It's like, this is hitting somewhere for all of us. Those things are important. How much time did I demonstrate that it was? Like, if I'm not demonstrating it, like, it's not coming back. So, or it's not, I'm not going to have more of it until I start devoting. And then it just starts to pour into our lives hugely. And I've noticed that in my life, the more time I devote to it and really make a point, like, this is important to me. And life's like, fine, it's going to be important to you. And these people came to this last retreat and like their lives started changing instantly. I've had people like, as soon as I bought it, yeah, I didn't go yet, my whole life started to change.
Agreed.
Because I was in the energetic, like I chose myself, my happiness, my well-being, and something in that just created this ripple effect.
I'm sure we've each individually felt that. I've signed up for stuff or invested in coaches or bought things and like, whoa, damn, I'm different now.
Demonstration.
Like, I'm the kind of person that does things like this. Mm-hmm. It's like, bang, line in the sand.
Yeah, we change our mind about who we are.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so powerful.
I'm just conscious, Leela. Yeah. We've been talking for 64 minutes already, somehow.
That's because I have a wind-up to wait.
Yeah, that is. I did coin that this week. If there are things we haven't touched on that you want to ramble about, or I know I'll give you the, well, Leela's Instagram got hacked, held for ransom by a social media terrorist, and Leela decided to, rather than paying the ransom, to just say fuck you and restarted her entire account. She lost thousands and thousands of people. So I know you have a new Instagram.
Yeah. Yep.
And you have the heart space. I know you have a podcast.
I do have a podcast. I'm still figuring that one out. Obviously, you showed me how to work the mic a little bit better.
Yeah.
I do want to do the podcast more, though. So help would be, who should I interview? If there's people that I should interview, give me those. I would like to do that more. The Heart Space podcast is what it's called. The Heart Space is my online women's community. It's hosted on Mighty Networks, which is a community platform. That's a monthly membership, and I teach workshops in there. There's different topics of study. I have different guest teachers that come on. Sometimes I record the podcast live in there so that community has an opportunity to ask questions to the guests. I offer breath work and feminine embodiment classes in there, which are two things I would do in my like bigger containers, but I decided I'm not doing any coaching this year or courses, so that'll, other than retreats, that would be the only way to really practice with me.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to grow that. I'd want it to, it's for any woman who's anywhere on her spiritual path or well-being journey. But I really see it as a place for women who are in leadership to have community that remind them of their own power and ability and truth. So I've kind of designed, my theme of the year is going to be wild and wise. So that'll be the whole like
that.
Guidance. So the workshops will be around that, like just reconnecting to our own individual truth. So if anyone wants to be involved in that, I'd love to have them. And then I do retreats too. Breathwork retreat is full. So that's great. That like, I like pitched it to our retreat here and then was like, never mind. None of you can come. Build up while I was away. So that's nice. But I'll do that again, probably in the fall. And I do a freedom retreat in the Bahamas in May. And that's all I have.
What's
for
your
now.
Website?
LeelaDilla.com.
It's all there, yeah? All the retreat stuff?
Yep. And then, well, we haven't had ours, but we, I think, are going to do this again next New Year's because it was pretty epic.
It has to be done.
They got a tattoo. Should we talk about that?
Oh, yeah. Two people got tattoos of, it's like my logo and Traver's logo and your rose.
Uh-huh. All
like,
slammed into
all together. And my brand, like... We were having dinner and we saw like the two guys across the way and they'd just been at the tattoo studio all day long And you knew that they were getting a tattoo.
They showed me what it was first, and I cried. And I'm glad they showed me, because I might have actually fainted or something.
But Traver and I had no idea. We just knew they were getting a tattoo, and you kept being like, you're going to really like it. I was like, yeah, whatever. And they walk up, and two men on their bodies have tattooed our logos to remember the experience. And that was such a surreal thing. Like, it's on video. It's on my Instagram.
Yeah.
But, like,
so powerful.
I didn't know what to feel. I was, like, feeling everything, and I was, like, in denial and also in shock.
So impactful.
So that is perhaps the best advertisement for our events. It's like, imagine spending a week somewhere and it's so impactful that you want to tattoo it on your body fucking forever. Like, what?
Yeah.
That's what happens there.
Yeah. It was a really incredible week, and it's only going to get better too.
Yeah. Like, we had a debrief conversation.
Yeah. I'm just like,
how can we make it better?
Yeah. Because without like really knowing what we were doing, like, let's try it again. Like, we did it once and then COVID happened for 2 years. Yeah. So let's try it again. And it's still so powerful. I mean, the people really create the magic though.
Yeah,
like, that group 100%. Was incredible. You were there. Like,
you're seared
into my heart.
Yeah.
And the last one too, but this one, like, I feel deeply connected to all of you. It was so incredible to be there. And like, there was many times, it was New Year's Eve. I think we were both just watching Traver dance. And you were like, for as dysfunctional as the three of us are, like, we create some magic. And it's
so fun.
We just come from three different veins, and to come together to bring this, like, artistry of remembrance and, like,
you just got to be there.
Yeah, you just got to be there. So next New Year's, don't make plans.
Yeah.
I don't have any details yet.
The week after Christmas, towards the 3rd of January, somewhere in there.
Yeah. Thanks for mentioning my Instagram.
Yeah. Trying to help promote you.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Okay, there's been a couple people like you, which I really appreciate. Like, oh, connect with this person or do this other thing. And I'm like, yeah, how'd you get yours back? And they're like, I had to send 75,000 emails and I had to message this thing a gazillion times. I'm like, you spent time doing that?
Yeah.
Like, I don't have the fortitude or connection to my old page. So it's one of those deaths and rebirths. Mm. I'll be Lila Dilla from here forward.
Yeah.
New version. So yeah, if you like my stuff, or if I can serve you or your community in any way, that's my jam. I want people to remember who they are and why they came here.
Well, I love you.
Thanks.
And the various versions of you that I have met through the years. And I'm just so honored to know you. So glad to know you. You've been a big positive light in my life. And I look forward to meeting various versions of you.
Just keep going.
Onward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same. Love you too. I really appreciate this. This is meaningful to me, and I wouldn't want to do COVID with anybody else.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, guess we're supposed to spend some time together, Lila.
I watched a movie with you. I don't watch movies.
All right. Jeremy. Thanks for listening.
Bye, everyone. Thank you.
So that's Lila Dilla. As mentioned, if you click on the show notes to this episode, you can find her Instagram. You can find her Heartspace community. You can find her Heartspace podcast, of which I was the first guest. And you can just get in her world. Also, you can sign up for our newsletters, my newsletter especially, wink, wink. And I will keep you informed about upcoming events, upcoming retreats, upcoming opportunities to work together, to meet up, to go for a hike, etc. Right now, I am planning to do a big walk in Spain, and we've got a couple things scheming behind the scenes. So if you're on the newsletter, you'll be the first to know, and you'll probably save some money too. I usually try to offer some discounts on there. Anyway, thanks for being here. Thanks for leaving comments. Thanks for leaving reviews, 5-star reviews. Thanks for sharing the podcast. It really does make a difference, and I am so grateful that you are here. Without further ado, this is me saying goodbye. Take care. Keep breathing, you know? It's a wild world right now. Just keep breathing.